Boy, I can't believe how fast these podcasts come around, ladies and gentlemen. Here I am again, doing another podcast, especially for you. And this week, if you could see where I'm sitting, you'd laugh. I'm sitting in a studio in San Francisco, and I'm talking to one of my favorite artists. And I say that quite sincerely, because I have been a fan of this lady for a long time, and she's just got a record into the top 40 charts, the country top 40 charts. And so I'm so proud of her. And I just performed a show with her. And I'm going to introduce you in a second to Miss Katie Garibaldi. But before we do that, we're going to play the song that was in the top 40 last week or the week before?
I believe the week before.
The week before. She doesn't even know. Man, if I had a record in the top 40, I'd be telling everybody. So, here is the... Why didn't you play DJ? You introduced the song.
Oh, okay. This is a new song I wrote. It's called I Am. It's off my brand new EP, Rooted Clarity. And it's a song I wrote about having faith. And I hope you enjoy it.
We'll be right back after the song. Don't go away. Listen up, folks. And that, ladies and gentlemen, was Miss Katie Garibaldi singing her song off her new CD. And it was in the charts, in the country charts. Wow. It's called I Am. And welcome to our humble microphone, Miss Katie Garibaldi. Hi, Katie.
Thank you. Hi.
So, What would you like to talk about? I assume you would like to talk about songwriting.
Sure.
How long have you been a songwriter? Well, then, if you told me that, you're going to give your age away.
Well, that's okay. I'll just say forever. No, I started songwriting pretty young, even before I started playing guitar. I was always coming up with songs in my head, even as a young kid when I was, like, in elementary school. I was always humming, coming up with melodies. So I heard melodies in my head, always humming, always singing, but never could quite put them together because I didn't have an instrument. And then my mom taught my brother and I piano when we were young, and I really liked it, but I couldn't quite connect writing, what I was hearing in my head, to the instrument. So it was mostly just to play. It was kind of a separate entity. And then when I got to be about 11 or 12, I asked my parents for guitar lessons because one of my teachers played guitar. And I just instantly fell in love with it, found a total connection with it. And just the first day I picked it up, I was like writing my first official song, just because I knew the first, whatever, two or three chords that you learn. And it was like an instant connection for me. So,
And you haven't looked back since.
Yeah, exactly.
I would tell you folks that, you know, I do follow Katie. I've known her for a while, but I've never actually sung with her until today. But she is one of the hardest working people I know. You go on the internet, oh, there she is, she's in Nashville. Oh, there she is, she's in Los Angeles. Oh, there she is, she's in San Francisco. I mean, do you ever stop?
No, I don't.
What drives you on?
You know, I just love it. I'm crazy that way. But, you know, in this business, too, you have to keep going. You always have to have something going on. And when I find places that I really connect with, like Nashville and certain places, I just keep wanting to go back because it's also inspiring, like, creatively as well. It gets my mind going when I'm seeing different places and connecting with new people. So I'm always coming back home with fresh new ideas for songs, and I love it.
Now, you guys, you know that I always put photographs up on my webpage of the people that I interview. So I'm going to be putting photographs up of Katie, and you young guys, she's hot. She's married. I know it came as a shock to me too, but she is. But the point I bring that up is on a more serious note is because. And I was saying this to your husband this morning. Mm-hmm. You know, it's kind of accepted unofficially, and it's weird, that the man can go off and sing here and the man can go off and sing there and his wife stays at home, looks after the kids or looks after the house or whatever. Mm-hmm. And the woman is supposed to accept that or does accept it. Whereas the shoe's on the other foot in your case, you go all over the place and sing and your husband stays home and works. I find that that he must be an extremely patient man.
He is a very patient man, yes. But I think because we've been together for about 13 years now, so we've known each other a long time. And when he met me, that's what I was doing. So it's very, like, it's just our lives. Like, that's already what I was doing. I was on the road, and I would come back and see him. And so it wasn't like he married me when I was like, you know, a banker or something, doing 9 to 5. And then
Have you ever done a nine to five job?
No, not really. No.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's pretty exciting. Not many singer-songwriters can boast about that. I mean, I've been doing it, obviously, 3 times longer than you have. Mm. But I can't say that I've never done something else to put food on the table.
Yeah. I mean, I have done other things on the side, but I've always put my music first because I didn't want to have a plan B, you know. I didn't want to put that in my head because then I feel like I would have had kind of the option to fail. So I always just this is what I'm going to do and I'm all in. And if this doesn't work out, I'll just do this. It's like, this is what I do. So I make it work.
As you've grown up and grown into this profession, who were your idols? Who did you say, man, I wish I could be like her?
Musically?
Yeah.
I would say Jewel was a huge
Oh, interesting.
Influence on me.
I'm not surprised you said that.
Really?
No.
Yeah, well, she was, her first big Pieces of You record came out when I was just learning the guitar. So, you know, it was like perfect timing where I was just learning all the Jewel songs and, you know, she's this strong, beautiful woman doing her thing.
And married singing, to a cowboy.
Singing. Yeah. Not anymore, though. She got divorced.
Did she really?
Did you know? That's the gossip. Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Mm-hmm.
Is she single now?
I believe so.
Oh,
I don't know.
I gotta go and interview her.
I couldn't tell you, but I see her every other week or so. No, I'm just
I'd
kidding.
Never heard that.
Yeah. But yeah, she was a big influence because she was so honest with her writing and she was kind of the big indie girl doing it herself and got a big record deal. So, I mean, all around her songwriting plus just the way she did her career was very inspiring.
So when you lay in bed and, you know, you're in that mystical world where you're dreaming, what would be your ultimate dream?
Ultimate dream? I would say...
I mean,
that's such a
where do you
question.
Want this? To, where do you want this ride to take you? Where do you want this journey to take you?
Well,
do you want to become another Jewel?
I would say no because I would want to be Katie Garibaldi. But I mean, I in the sense that where I could have like a bigger team helping me, so I don't have to wear so many hats as an indie artist, and I can concentrate. More, you know, 90% on the music and the creativity and 10% on the business, whereas now it's like a 50-50 thing. You have to
more lopsided
exactly,
on the business.
Exactly, yeah, exactly. So you have to have your hands in everything.
And we're not preaching, folks, but the average person in the public, and this was true when I was talking to, if you remember my last interview was with Lisa, the theatrical music theater lady in San Francisco. People don't get how much work it really is. What, for instance, Katie gets the idea for a song. Richard gets an idea for a song. We're driving down the freeway and we get these ideas, however muddled they're in our head. And we get home, we pick up our respective instruments or however you write a song. And you spend the next 3, 4, 5 hours or however long it takes, some are short, some are longer, to write the song. Then you write the song and then you put the music to it. And then you kind of meld the two together and come up with a finished product. Mm-hmm. But it's not really finished, is it? I mean, then you have to record it and arrange it. And then you have to sell the recording. Market the recording.
Exactly.
You have to get up at 4 o'clock in the morning and call all the people on the East Coast trying to find work. You do all the PR for it.
Book your shows, promote your shows, plan your travel. Yeah. It's about 20,000 jobs in one.
Yes. However, you are in charge of your own destiny. I am in charge of my own destiny. And that part of it's nice.
Right, yes. You don't have someone telling you what to do or giving you deadlines what to do it by. So you do need to be kind of a little bit strict on yourself with some things. Otherwise, you start floating away a little bit. But
well, I'm going to tell you what to do. Why don't you play another track off your CD?
Okay. That's easy enough.
Introduce it.
Okay, well, let's go with the first single that was off of Rooted Clarity, and that's called Delightful.
So we're back with Katie. I guess we all have different ways of doing it, but how do you get the words first and then the melody? Do you get the melody first and then the words? How do you put that all together?
It's always different, just depending on the day or whatever, when the muse strikes me. But usually the lyrics come last. So it's usually either a melody that I'll start humming, and then I'll pick up my guitar and work the chords around it and then add the lyrics. Or I'll start with my guitar chords and start coming up with the melody over that.
Interesting. See, I'm the complete opposite.
Oh, you do the lyrics first?
I sit at the computer and write the poem.
Right.
Which doesn't make a lyric to a song.
Mm-hmm.
Generally speaking, folks, poems and lyrics have got different rhythms. It's called iambic meter. I'm getting technical now. But it's got different rhythms. So, yes, then when I finish writing it, and I think, well, this will make a pretty good song. I like this. So then I get the guitar, mm-hmm. and then I start working on it. The words end up three quarters of the time completely different than what I originally wrote, but the meaning's still there. But I start with the words.
Huh.
I find words important to me. I'm not a good melody person. I have a very hard time with melodies, mm-hmm. as you probably noticed in some of my songs. No, I'm being serious. Your songs are very melodic.
Well, I mean, that's what I grew up on. I grew up on, like, when I was a kid, I grew up on the Beatles. You know, everything my parents played to me was, like, old rock and roll, old pop stuff. So it was very, like, the Beach Boys, the Beatles, and just very melodic-based songs.
Now so, she's making me feel very old. Because I was in a rock and roll band that followed the Beatles into clubs. Well, mm-hmm. they followed us into clubs.
Mm-hmm.
That was 1962, 1963, and 1964. Wow. Oh, now I'm getting an idea of how old you are.
I mean, I'm not ashamed of you could ask me.
Oh, I'm not ashamed. How old do you think I am? Let's have a little contest, folks. See if how close
that
she gets.
I'm not guessing that.
Oh, come on. You got to guess. It doesn't matter whether you're right or wrong. But what do you think?
I'll tell you after the interview.
Oh, because you think.
I'm not going to.
Go on.
No.
She thinks I won't finish the interview if she says I'm older than I am, and she'll never guess. You guys out in radio land, you actually know how old I am because I tell you all the time. So you write the CD. How did the song get from the CD to the top 40 country charts?
This one, I'm not exactly sure how it works. I just got a notice from my publicist that it was on there. But I believe that it's the country news for new releases. So it had to do with the listens on SoundCloud, because I Am was my second single. So it was released on The Boot, actually. It's the country, a big country magazine. The Boot premiered it. And that got a lot of attention, and then my SoundCloud got a lot of attention from there, and then I guess because of the views, I don't know how technical land works.
What do you actually classify yourself as in your own mind?
That's a tough one. I call myself Americana, but that's very broad. It's more, I mean, my last album was more country focused. This one's a little bit more folky, but there's a bunch of orchestration on it. I worked with a lot of live strings, so it's more like ethereal folk. So that's what I call myself, but it's,
yeah.
You know.
She's waving her hands frantically.
I'm waving my hands.
We're not on TV, we're on the radio.
I forgot. I'm a little bit all over the place. So.
Yeah, well, I mean, as you heard this morning, I lean much more towards the folky side,
mm-hmm.
and I like to make people sing and join in and all that kind of stuff. Part of me wishes that I could come up with songs like you do. And I mean this seriously, and I'm not being facetious. What I mean by that is that people can either tap their foot or click their fingers or whatever to your song and know the words and listen to the words. Whereas mine literally has to be listened to. You know, there has to be an audience that's sitting there in a theater listening, because I'm telling a story. I'm what am I trying to say? I'm not sure what I'm trying to say. Yours is much more in the popular vein than mine is. Would you say that?
I guess it also depends on the venue that, like you said, if there's a listening room, like even with my songs, it depends on the audience that you're playing to. So if, like, I'm in, like, a bar or a club, I'll play mainly more, like, upbeat songs. Maybe if people aren't just sitting there listening to every single lyric. But if you're in, like, a listening room, like, when I play in the songwriter things in Nashville a lot, like, I'll play the more mellow songs that are more geared towards the lyrics. So I guess it just depends. Yeah. But, yeah.
Okay. Let's do another cut.
Another song?
Okay. Another song.
I think we're going to do my song Off-Rooted Clarity called In My Wildest Dreams.
In Your Wildest Dreams? Okay. Folks, here is Katie singing In Your Wildest Dreams. In your wildest dreams? In my wildest dreams.
In my wildest dreams.
In her wildest dreams.
But okay. In your wildest dreams when you listen to it.
Yeah, well, you don't want to know what my wildest dreams are, so that's all right. How fast the time has gone. We've got down to our last segment here. When I have to compliment you on your guitar. Now,
you.
I want you to tell people about your guitar because I already know about it. So it's a Breedlove guitar, which a lot of you probably haven't heard of.
Yeah, they're based in Oregon, and it's just a beauty. It's my baby. It's my muse. It's a really beautiful guitar.
It really is, folks. She's not joking.
I just love it. I've had it for about 2 years now.
And it's got a tone. You hit a note, a chord, and it goes on and on. It's wonderful.
It's called Myrtlewood back and sides, which is just this beautiful wood on the guitar. And I had it custom built, and that was just like, I was over the moon with that sound when I first got it, or when I first tried it. And I also have a mermaid inlay. Did you see the inlay in the fretboard?
No, actually, it didn't.
I'll show it to you.
Oh, yes, I did. Yes.
It's like a mermaid, and it's really pretty. So
yeah, it's beautiful.
It's my baby.
And it sounds so nice. Now, talking about babies, one of the things that happens to females as they go on, you end up having children. How is that? Is that in your future? And
I hope so. Yeah.
How is this going to affect you singing?
I hope to have kids someday. It's, I do want to be a mom, and I think that I have the drive in me to do it all, to do the career and the kids. So, yeah, it'll be an interesting adventure when that time comes. That's for sure.
So what's next for Katie? Where you go? Where are you headed now?
Well, I'm going back to Nashville in a few days.
Oh, God.
And I know.
You must have more flying miles than anybody.
And I'm going to be there a few days and going to the Summer NAMM show there as well. And then I'm going to go to New York, and I'm doing a band show at Rockwood Music Hall. It's for my New York CD release show. So that'll be like the big final celebration of the June release. I've already done shows in San Francisco, LA, and Nashville for the release. So now I'll do New York, and that'll kind of like wrap up the celebration of Rooted Clarity. And just keep going out and playing and promoting the new songs.
Are you going up for a Grammy this year?
Yes, that's my attempt. I'm going to try to.
I've decided not to do it again this year.
Not this year.
Well, because, you know, I did the spoken word disc last year, and I don't feel that it's run its gambit. It hasn't run the journey yet.
Yeah.
Because there are so many places, radio stations, that won't play it.
Mm.
Hint, hint. that won't play it because they don't know what genre to put it in.
Oh, okay, yeah.
There's a lot of web-based community radio stations that are playing it. But, you know, am I rap? No. Although it's spoken word, which is after all what rap is. But doesn't kind of seem to mesh. Certainly not dance music.
Yeah.
So where the heck do they put it? So
tough, yeah.
I keep getting little nibbles here and there, but I don't feel that I've run the
yeah.
it's run its journey yet. So
well,
whereas you've just got a brand new CD.
Yeah, and I think it's hard to like do the whole Grammy submission thing every single year because it's just like a full-time effort to get to a whole different community, which is a great community, by the way. But
actually, we're talking to you from San Francisco, one of the suburbs of San Francisco. And we're actually at a Grammy party. One of the Grammy people up here has got a big birthday today. In fact, I'm going to interview them and do a podcast with them after I finish with Katie here. But, there's a lot of Grammy people here too. So it's a whole different world, folks.
It is. It is a different world. And I've only been in that world for barely 2 years now, so I'm still learning the ropes.
Yeah.
But it's been really cool. Everyone's been so supportive.
They are.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, we'll wind the interview up. We'll do one more song to play us out. I'd like to thank you very much for taking the time from the party to come in here and sit on the floor. We're actually sitting on the floor, folks, in the studio, and talking to all my public and my friends and people. You can obviously get, as you all know, you can get on the Village Green on iTunes and Podomatic, and of course on my own website on the Village Green. And I thank you very much every time for listening, because I couldn't do this without you guys. We're up to over 30,000 listeners now. Isn't that cool?
Yeah.
Very cool. That means that's $10 each. Let me see. That's a lot of money. I'm joking. I'm joking. So, Katie, be DJ again.
All right. So I guess we'll go out with the last song that's on the EP. And this is from my new album, Rooted Clarity. And this song is called Bird in a Cage.
So this is Bird in a Cage with Katie Garibaldi. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for listening. I'll see you next time on The Village Green.